Welcome to Better Than One Marriage Podcast, Unprepared Conversations, Preparing You for Marriage.
Amen.
I'm Ronald Corsi.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
We're still married. I switched it up right there. Just decided to. This is a double switch. I'm holding hands with my...
Yeah, I didn't think you were starting yet.
Just going in.
Because we always pray before, but we usually release hands.
And that's where we're messing up. So we're messing up. Need to hold hands the whole time. Tell people, I really don't like you.
Okay.
I really don't like you anymore.
That's funny.
I say that's how you you're supposed to argue. You're supposed to argue with your hands held and then
look each other in the eyes.
That means it won't go to a Ike Turner anime. It won't go too crazy.
That is, I have heard that.
It's just an idea. Let me, look at
it. Who does it though?
I've been cheating on you.
You're right.
I know you don't. It's just like, what? Hold on.
Good thing I got a grip of you so you can't get away when I punch you in the face.
Certainly, because that hand is coming out fast,
indeed.
Sir. Indeed. Can't be out here cheating. But we're back for another week. Back for another week, Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been many weeks in a row.
It has.
And we're grateful to the Lord just for still being married. You could go ahead and subscribe now or like now, like later. Don't like later, like now. All right.
Yeah,
even dislike, that's fine. Leave a comment. All of that is helpful. We have never said that we are perfect.
No.
Or have all the answers.
No.
Which goes really without saying.
Yeah.
But you say it anyway, just so people understand that we know that.
Mm-hmm.
But just want to share some wisdom about marriage and try to answer questions and really try to say some things that you could not otherwise say in certain aspects.
Yeah.
We're Christians. We've been in church all our lives, and I wouldn't dare bring up, hey, pastor, my wife isn't sexually pleased. Do you have anything that you could share with me at this Bible study that could help me, please her better? As every mother in the church mouth drops. And true thug moms would start beating somebody.
Yes.
Somebody's getting
what
a whooping.
Did you just say?
Are you crazy? I can't believe he just said that.
Or.
Of course, you're going to give sound advice.
Or he might just be like, I have a book right here. That's what I recommend to all my young men who are struggling in that department.
That is funny. That's another shocker. Where you get that book? That book ain't from God.
Pastor's fired.
I'm calling a meeting. We all here. So let's just vote now. Mm-hmm. He's out. All right.
You're supposed to teach about God, not about sex.
Yeah. So just here to be able to have open conversations about things that you otherwise may not have a chance to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And not just sex.
So leave a comment. And if you leave a great comment, get a little prize from us. I don't know what it is, but we'll get you something.
If the Lord so moves us.
Sees fit. If the Lord sees fit.
Yes.
So, what is our topic for today?
It is boredom.
It's boredom.
Eyes bored.
Eyes bored, as in eyes tired. In this marriage.
Yes. This marriage is boring.
I think, here's an interesting part, and I've said this to you before, is that sometimes things can look boring, but actually really be comfortable. Mm. And the first thing I can think of is like when you go out to a restaurant, there's different types of couples. You got older couples, you got younger couples. Most couples really aren't doing that much talking.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily speak to like their boredom or excitement. Sometimes it speaks to kind of like a posture. Like this, like we're kind of just in the pocket.
Right.
Like, you don't want, it's crazy to like one wants to talk and you're sitting at the table and somebody really wants to talk and the other one is like, That's one thing.
That's not good.
It's not good. And then there's sometimes, I would imagine that some people who are like sitting there, and definitely, I don't want to judge an older couple because y'all done talked for 50 straight years. It's like, we ain't got nothing else to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got no more jokes to tell. All we can talk about is current events that we're doing. And we ain't doing much but just living and loving. So let's just sit here and enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
But for them younger people, it's like, I be feeling bad for him. And not even necessarily young, even 40s, 50s. I feel bad. You just going to sit there and not talk? Wow. Mm-hmm. So there is a pocket of posture where it's not actually boredom. It's just we're so used to each other that we can sit here
and be secure in that.
And be secure in that. Mm-hmm. There's a security there. Mm-hmm. And then there's the pocket where it's just like, man, this is whack.
Right.
This sucks.
But I feel like you made a good point. I think mm-hmm. it's clear. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if it really is that way for both parties, you usually can see a little bit of contention because they're not happy about it.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not just bored. Like, they both are kind of like, ugh, you know. Mercy. Like, you can kind of see that. I also think that if it's just one of you, you can see that.
Oh, they lingering with the waiter. Like, hey, waiter, so what do you like here? Hey, how you pop out those breasts? Did you want a breadstick, waiter?
It's terrible. Just like,
I have to get back to what I was doing. Right. Can't talk
but
to
I
you.
But I need you to break up the awkwardness. Break the awkwardness. Nah, but I feel like when it's only one of you, you can see that too because
yeah.
it's declines.
Yeah.
You know, just you make these advances and then it's just like, or just crickets or just so
yikes.
What do you think you'll be ordering today? I think I'm getting the chicken breast. Yeah.
Man.
No, I don't know. But when it's both of them and nobody looks upset or angry.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe it is kind of like a sign of contentment.
Sometimes.
You know,
just yeah.
And you never know because sometimes that might just be there every day, like we meet up for lunch every day.
Right.
You know?
Maybe.
And for them, it's just like, yeah, we just meet up for lunch. It's just a cute little thing that we do.
Yeah.
Like, we're not really on a date. We're just having lunch.
We're just eating. Just eating.
Right. Like, it's just lunchtime.
That's different. Because yeah. I never even thought. I always felt like if you were going to do that, like, you shouldn't sit at a table. Let's sit at the bar or something. You know? If you was going to, like, if you're going to not talk, nothing's worse than you sitting at a table with somebody looking at them and not talking.
Yes. Yeah,
horrid.
Not looking at them.
We're at a two-seater. It's a two-seater. You're sitting across from me. Just
yikes.
Amen.
Yeah, that's not good.
Amen to the prayer. That was the highlight of the conversation.
That's not good.
Amen.
I have to bring up, though, what's very interesting is, first of all, our church, some people from our church went to the mall today. Hence my, for those who can actually see the video, Ask Me for Prayer t-shirt.
Ask her.
So we had on our Ask Me for Prayer t-shirts, and the theme was grab a snack, grab a prayer. So we had some free snacks that we were giving out in bags with, you know, a little postcard with our church info. Mm. And we were offering people prayer. And you'd be surprised how many people will actually say, sure, you can pray for me. They might not speak the language. They might not even really know what you're saying too good.
Yeah.
And then some of them are like, you can tell they're not really religious, but they're like, I mean, I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
And some people are kind of like, yeah, I mean, I take any positive energy.
All of that.
You know, like.
Got any crystals?
Right, exactly. It's like. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, but they're just like, yeah, but positive energy. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
You know, like, and it's just interesting. But it's very touching, too, because then some people are really going through and they like immediately tear up when you say, hey, can we pray for you while you're here?
Yes.
And, you know, that can be really. But anyway, it was a great experience. We had 200 bags. They were gone.
Certainly.
You know, so 200 people accepted snacks.
Amen.
Amen.
I got one myself.
Within a 2 hour period.
Yes.
So really, we ran out before 2 hours. So within like an hour and a half, we were out of bag.
That's a solid. Yeah. Solid show.
Yeah. It was a blessing.
Half an hour.
But anyway, I brought this up because I took our daughter with me, Corey. And when we were on our way home, somehow the conversation came up of how grown-ups are boring.
Yes, certainly.
I don't remember how it led up to that, but I just remember telling her, like, you know, grown-ups don't need to play anymore, you know? And it wasn't even, I mean, it's typically an occasion where she's, like, wanting to play, and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah,
but, like, in this situation, it literally was just a talk we were having, and it just came up, because she was like, yeah, because all grown-ups like to do is sit around.
Yes.
And I was like, well, no, that's not true. Like, we still do things, but, like, I was just trying to explain to her that, like, over time, you don't have the same needs.
Right.
You know, because she's
once.
Like, well, you need to, or once. And
need
she
to.
Was like, because you need to know what it's like to be a kid. And I was like, well, I was one.
Already.
You know, I started off as one.
In my career, early on, I was a kid.
Right. Like, I've been, yeah. It's just over.
Yeah.
But I told her, I was like, yeah, I used to be a kid. And when I was a kid, I was like you. I needed the things that you need, and I like the things that you like and all of that. But I was like, when you get to be a grown up, you still have fun. It's just a different fun. And I was telling her about me and you, because she's like, yeah, because you and daddy just like to sit around. I was like, yeah, like we talk and we enjoy each other's company. We watch shows that we like. We like to go out to eat at a nice restaurant.
Did you insert daddy is tired?
I did tell her. I said, but the difference is that kids get to play more.
Yes.
You know, grown-ups, you work a lot. And then when you get to relax, you just want to relax. Right. You appreciate relaxation more as a grown-up, you know?
Need it.
But yeah, it's just funny because we just had this whole talk in the car.
Yes.
And she was basically alluding to the fact that, like, oh, well, y'all are boring because you just, it's just because you're not a kid. Uh-oh. But now I'm thinking about our conversation and, you know, uh-oh, it's kind of like time.
Yeah.
Time and age.
I feel like I don't want to call it an epiphany, but here's the thing that I'm hearing in my spirit is that you actually do need to move. Like, but you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what's crazy about it. It's like kids are just doing what comes natural just because mm-hmm. they have so much energy. But your body actually needs movement. Mm-hmm. I just said that movement is medicine. Mm-hmm. Motion
it's
is
true.
Motion.
It's true.
Right? It's great for your body. And if you stop moving, your body says, well, I guess you don't need this body anymore. It starts breaking down. So
we also just had that talk.
You know what I mean? Yes. And you actually think about, like, just tying it into boredom is like, no, there's something that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. That you're not doing. That you need to do.
You need to do.
Yes.
Yes. And it may cause the same sort of atrophy of boredom. Mm. Like, you know, our relationship is like, oh, it's not working.
Because we ain't exercising.
We ain't exercising it.
Yikes.
I'm out here. We ain't exercising it, Chels. We ain't doing no leg ups.
Wow.
We ain't doing. And people, this is an obvious one, but like, we ain't doing our date nights no more. You know, and not just because we ain't got no money. Well, it ain't really no excuse, because you can have a free date night, and those typically are the best.
They are.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But you ain't doing no date nights. We ain't strokey doking no more.
Yeah, my God.
You know what I mean? I ain't rubbing
her
back.
And you do get tired.
Yeah.
And then just not feel like it. And it's not that you don't love them.
Right.
Or don't want to invest. You just tired.
You tired. But if you're not careful, that rut is just like, and I said this to you the other, you know, for whatever reason, I looked up, I was like, man, we ain't had sex in like 11 days.
It was not 11 days.
How many
First
days?
First of all, we How had many, a Medea moment.
We had sex
moment.
In 14 days.
We had a Medea moment.
Ah, Lord.
It had been 5 days.
It's been 25 days since I last seen
exactly
you naked.
That's exactly what he did the other day.
What are we doing here?
It was day five.
Day five? I was like, hold
and
on.
He was like, it's been like 7 days.
It's like, oh, what
been
are
like
we,
9 days.
What are we doing here? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And then we end up sick, you know, and you can look up and it's like, oh, man, when was the last time I seen my wife naked? Was that 2 weeks ago? I'm like, oh, no, this has got to stop. Yes. But if I say to myself, I'll get around to it.
Right.
Now you can set a new precedent. Like, you're setting a precedent of boredom in your relationship when you stop doing what's necessary and instead you do what comes comfortably.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, we missed this date night. Mm-hmm. So, we'll just get it next time. So now the new precedent can become like, oh, we did it every week. Yeah, we do it every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, we do it maybe once a month.
Yeah.
To, if we go, we'll go. If not, we're not. Now you're looking up. I'm bored.
Yeah.
I don't have sex no more.
Yeah.
It's like all that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with sex.
Yeah. Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
All of it.
I totally agree with that. And it's so funny because all these conversations with our children, I just talked to Corey the other day about that you need to keep your body moving because I was telling her, instead of like shuffling around on the floor to pick stuff up, like she'd be walking on her knees. And it's like, that's just very slow.
What is it with kids, man?
Like,
Lord.
You know, it's very, and she just moves like a snail. And I'm like, honey, stand up. I tell her every time, to the point where I had to kind of say, I ain't going to tell you no more.
I ain't going to tell you.
You're
no
going to walk around on your feet.
Or it's a beat.
And you're going to bend down and pick up the stuff and then go put it where it goes.
Or it's a beating.
So, you know, we had to have that talk. Or it's a beating talk. So I had to have that talk with her. But I told her, because she was like, but then I get so tired when I do that. And my back hurts. And I said, honey, if your back hurts at 7,
first of all,
you really need to stand up and bend over more often. But I told her, your muscles don't work after a while if you don't use them. I literally just talked to her about this. Yeah. Like, it won't bother you as much to do it if you do it more, because your body's going to meet the demands that you're putting on it.
Yes, that's true. Unacceptable. Because when you said my back hurts, every black person in the United States said the same thing. You
Have
ain't got
you
no
been
back.
Picking cotton.
You ain't got no back.
That's it.
You ain't got nothing but
you
a gristle.
Got no back. That's true.
That's what everyone thought. You ain't got no back, and she don't. You ain't got no back, please.
No.
Couldn't hurt your back
like
if I threw you off a building.
Over in their grave.
Please, your back.
You ain't
hurt.
Been picking no cotton. You ain't been planting no corn.
Yes.
Like, why does your back?
I don't know
hurt?
What it is about. Kids are the worst clean uppers and look for anythingers on earth.
Yikes.
And it don't even, like, they, oh my Lord, like, they have, whew, talk about taking a glance. Hey, can you find it in your room? I'm looking. All right, it ain't in there.
It's so fast.
I'm like, you did.
It's the fast response.
I feel like it, I felt like it wasn't in there. It's like, yo, you didn't even look. I've done this with my father. It was horrible. Because I say to my dad, like, man, I can't find it. Hmm. I was like, Dad, we don't have no, I think it was mayonnaise or something. I was like, we don't have no Miracle Whip. I was eating Miracle Whip at the time. Uh-huh. We don't have no Miracle Whip, Dad. And I was like, he was like, RJ, like, it's in there now. It's in there. I was like, Dad, I'm telling you. Like, I'm telling you, Dad, like, it's not in there. He's like, all right, if I got to get up and go find this, you're going to have, I think he said you're going to be on punishment. I was like, I'm going to be on punishment. I'm like, Dad, it ain't in there. So I don't know what to tell you, this guy. Walks in there, immediately, like, it's right there.
The worst.
Ah, I see. It's behind that stuff. Oh, yeah, I see what's going on there. Yeah, I was using what more of the that? Look and see method. I wasn't really using the actually find it method.
Right.
Horrible.
That is so funny.
And hilarious.
Nah, but I was just telling her that because she complains, like, if I give her the diaper bag because I need to carry her sleeping 30-pound brother in.
Yes.
Can you carry the 2-pound diaper bag while I haul your brother up the stairs?
Unbelievable.
Oh, this bag is so heavy, Mommy. And I'm just like, girl. But I told her the more you do it, though,
yes,
the stronger you get. That's and next right. thing you know, you're going to look up and it's not going to be nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but like if you don't exercise something, though,
yeah,
it's like things meet the demands that you put on them.
Yes, they do.
And now that you're saying what you were saying, like I'm seeing that with like everything. Like if there's no intentionality, if you don't work it out, if you don't, like, you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
Really, it's a plain way to say it. You
right.
get out what you put in.
Yes,
so if you don't put nothing in, you ain't going to get nothing out. And then you get upset that you're bored.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. And I got in. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm good.
Well, is that, and I was trying to explain this. Well, I wasn't trying. I was explaining to the guys today is that you're getting, it's like you don't have to feed anything in your body. It's like you have your soul, which is the seat of your emotion. It's like it's what makes up you. It's your subconscious mind. It's all that, your will, your emotions, your all that. That's your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your spirit, and really the spirit of God once you're saved. And then you have your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that your flesh does not need anything from you.
No, it does not.
It does not need it. I was like,
strong,
no,
all by itself.
I'm sitting there saying to the guys, like, no, you want to watch porn? Trust me, your flesh is ready. You don't have to warn it. You don't have to warm it up. Nope, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. At any given moment, your flesh is sitting there saying, hey, let's cuss these people out. Yep,
yep.
Let's do it. Let's slap that. Yep, you ain't even got to say less. You could have just said slap. Let's do it. Let's steal. Yep, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. But your spirit is over here, and your spirit can only say what you put in it.
Mm-hmm.
And now your spirit is over here. It's depleted. You have to actually feed it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it don't have nothing for you.
Yeah.
So now you find yourself in an encounter where it's like, here's your soul in the middle and your spirit's over, your flesh is over here like, hey. As a matter of fact, here it is. Your soul says, here, something comes to your soul. It says, hey, I want to cheat on my woman.
Mm-hmm.
And your flesh says, great. That sounds like a great plan. Sounds good to me. Let's mm-hmm. do it. And then your spirit is only going to say what you have for it.
Yeah,
where it's
true.
Like your spirit is like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had. He didn't have, you shall not fornicate, you shall not be cheating
right,
on your
right,
wife,
right,
you
right.
love your wife, you love God, and don't mm-hmm. sin against, none of that. Didn't have none of that.
Wow. Because
you didn't put none of it in there.
Wow.
And now your spirit just says, eh, well.
You know why? Because we're born in sin and
yes.
shaping in iniquity. It's almost like sin is a grown man
right.
when you're born.
Right.
And your spirit, you reborn,
see,
is
but,
a baby.
Oh my gosh. But this is where, it's because we don't actually take into account that, and this is the actual point I'm making,
mm-hmm.
is that in your marriage and in your life, you are feeding whether you want to or not.
True.
And here's the truth. Your flesh feed is feeding too.
Yeah.
That's why it's so strong.
Yeah.
We don't take into account like, oh, I've been feeding my flesh until you get saved. Yeah. You've been feeding your flesh however many years that is.
That's so 10, true.
30, don't matter. Your flesh is strong.
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
Wow.
And you are spiritually dead.
And also the world. Yeah. Like your surroundings, the day and age we live in, it's everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. You don't even have to feed yourself. Like that's what I'm actually saying.
Wow.
Just, is that your flesh is being fed by everything.
Unless you decide to cut that off. Absolutely.
And if you're not saved, why would you?
Right.
I don't have no reason why. Right. I can watch whatever I want to watch. What do I care?
Especially because sin is pleasurable. Why would I not do that?
And now you've been doing that for all that time and you're spiritually dead. Your spirit is not, it's not even revived. So
it's not
now,
even born.
It's nothing. None of that. Like you get saved, and God says, "All right, cool. I'll revive you. You are spiritually awoken, and you have my spirit as a helper.
Right.
Here you go. Mm-hmm. Now you have to start feeding your spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, guys, and everybody, we get into trouble when we're not feeding our spirit, but we're still trying to contend with the flesh.
Yeah.
And tying this to the marriage, I feel like it's the same thing. Is that if you're not being intentional, you're still being intentional. Like you're still feeding your marriage what you're accepting. And if it's not building up, it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah.
It's coming in. It doesn't matter to your soul and your spirit. Like, nope. Whatever you come in is what's going to, you're going to reap the benefits of it regardless.
Yeah. Well, wow.
But now you're not, if you're not being intentional to say, okay, I'm going to do this that will build up my marriage. Or I'm going to do this that will bring me closer. It's like, all right, I'm just naturally doing anything I want. And it's naturally just saying, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just naturally over here not, you know, not doing our date night, is not being intentional about hearing my wife, not trying to not argue or, you know, or resolve conflicts or anything. You're going to get it all the same just by not doing it. It's like you're feeding somebody.
Yeah.
Either that flesh is getting fed or the spirit is being fed.
So not trying is still feeding.
It's not feeding.
It's still feeding, right?
It's just
feeding the flesh.
It's feeding the flesh.
Or feeding disaster and ruin.
Right.
I have a couple scriptures that are coming to mind. Galatians 6, 7.
Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
So I'll read 7 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
This is the NLT. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant.
Yeah.
Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit.
Right.
So let's not get tired of doing what is good.
Yeah.
At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Yikes. That NLT is...
I'm going to read 10, too. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, got to make it your business.
You do. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like boredom is intentional.
Yeah.
And it is not unintentional.
Yeah.
I think that's because
you purposely didn't try.
There it is. So you didn't find yourself being bored. You made yourself bored.
Wow. And I think it's important to just highlight, too, that it's like you have to take the ownership on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like you really do. Are you doing all that you can? You know, get the log out of your eye before you point out the twig in your partner's eye,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your spouse's eye. Let me not say partner, in your spouse's eye. Even if you're dating, though, too, in your partner's eye. Mm-hmm. But, you know, seriously, self-examine before you like, okay, like what else? Because you're not doing this because you are doing that. Blah, 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 blah. Or maybe I'd be more interested if you did it up. You know, no, what can you do? Like, if you are discontent in your marriage, what can you do? What seeds can you plant?
It's true.
You know, because you're going to reap a harvest of what you plant.
Yes.
You know, however, of course, you can't control the ground.
No.
You know, you can't control the soil. Of course, like, sometimes you have to pray for your spouse and, you know, because they might not be receptive.
Yeah.
You know, it might be. Their heart might be stone.
Certainly.
And then nothing's going to grow roots in that, you know. But that's a whole different topic for another day. But, you know, we're talking about more so in like a relationship that is, you know, more healthy, but where you just haven't been intentional.
Right.
You know, that you need to take it on yourself and say, well, what can I do? Because more than likely your spouse will respond positively.
Yeah.
Because you reap what you sow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're not going to be like, I hate this love that you're giving me. I hate that you're trying to plan date night.
Unless you're truly toxic. That's a truly toxic person
We have a whole different
issue if
your spouse is like, I hate that you love
me. You need to find somebody with some oil.
Right. Help us, Lord. Yeah. So, I mean, Mm-hmm. Well, Ron, have you ever been bored in our marriage?
No. I really feel like I have never been bored in our marriage.
That's a blessing.
It is, but it's because we have chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like the boredom is like our. Here's the thing. Because we have great chemistry, we could fall into the trap of getting too complacent, mm-hmm. but it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard because the simple things in life, even when we're not doing nothing and we're just sitting here, great time.
Yeah.
Great night. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just we're going to sit here and laugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, so every now and then we're going to have a very heated discussion. Mm-hmm. But there is it's not boring because, mm-hmm. you know, you're like, it's like, when are you ever bored with your best friend? Like, oh, I'm so bored.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And that's why we always emphasize how important it is to have chemistry when, like, you're choosing a mate.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we seek the Lord and be spirit led. But, like, mm-hmm. there's certain things that God makes obvious to you mm-hmm. Or just that are common sense. You don't even need the Holy Spirit to know that you get along with this person.
Yes.
Chemistry is so important.
It is.
And it's like the marrying someone that you don't have chemistry with is going to present you with a whole different set of issues.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
And it may not be surmountable. It may not be something you can overcome. It's like yeah. if you are jokey, like you Chris Rock and she come in like she Michelle Obama. No. Stoic and I don't laugh. And I'm not saying that's just an example
I get you.
Of like what a first lady represents.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
who doesn't play. Like
right.
we don't have, you know, it's very serious.
Right.
But yeah, like if somebody hits you with that, like I really don't like how much you joke. And that's a part of your personality. It's like, well, this
so
is.
So we're not for each other.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
People don't think about that when they trying to, you know, at least men, let me say men. If somebody look good enough, the better they look, the more you'll put to the side. If you a 10, a New York City 10 will get a man to, he'll do anything,
mm-hmm.
almost anything mm-hmm. other than sell his soul.
Have mercy, hey, we hope.
I need 8 jobs, no problem. 8 full-time jobs, no problem. I'll get it. I got it, no problem.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in that situation
you
either.
Don't.
If
forget
you bend
her.
It over backwards.
Forget her.
Because that's just, no.
Forget her. She ain't that cute.
No.
She is that cute, but forget her still.
Right,
care.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Enjoy. Get somebody you can enjoy your life with.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we were watching Married at First Sight last night, and Pastor Cal was trying to tell them, like, you know, like, and they were trying to tell each other, the couple's attraction can grow once you get to know the person.
It's true.
It's true because, like, who people are on the inside can actually literally influence what they appeared like to you. On the outside.
Especially women. Mostly women. Amen.
Not just in general. Because, like, if a person just has, like, such a beautiful attitude and they just treat you so well and they really care about you and stuff, they become beautiful to you.
You in certain regards.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I think it's the same as the opposite, where when people have an ugly attitude, they're not as attractive
right.
physically to
yeah.
you. It's like... Right. It's either like putting blinders on or taking them off.
Right.
You know, like who you are as a person definitely affects people's overall mm-hmm. perception of you.
Yeah.
You know, it can affect where it's like you probably are really good looking, but I can't tell right now because I'm so blinded by your ugly. You
that's,
know, like, ew.
That's true. So that's why you're so hot, Jules. That's why you're so hot. Because you're precious. It's because you're precious and, you know, you're sweet. You're a good person. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. You know, I probably would hate you if you was, you know, if you wasn't so nice. I'd be like, ugh, mm-hmm. you're so mean. Like, I can't, a mean woman is like an oxymoron to me. It's like you're put.
It's not feminine.
It's like you were put here to be the better of us. It's like, why do you want to succumb to being mean and mm-hmm. and manly?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ugh. It's like, why? It's like that is not appealing.
Not that men should be mean, but yes,
no,
we
men.
Understand what
yeah,
you're
but
saying.
That's because
women. It's not
listen,
feminine.
It's because men suck. We'd be doing stuff that's ridiculous. We're mean because we don't know any better. Then you get a good woman; she'll be there to help you. Like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be so mean, and then he'll consider it. You know, man is just trash. They ain't trash.
That's so funny.
But yeah.
Nah, y'all just aren't as naturally nurturing. That's
nah,
all.
That's not us. Not
it's not.
Nice.
A lot of times it's not intentional. If you're a mean person, you're intentionally mean.
That's,
like,
well,
ignorant is one thing. Mean is another.
That's true.
Men can be ignorant to, oh, feelings? What are those?
Oh, yeah. What are feelings?
Oh, they hurt?
I was just asking you about your weight.
My
I don't
bad.
Know. I felt like you maybe, you know, thought you was hefty. You know what I mean?
First of all, back to Married at First Sight. If for those who are watching, spoiler alert. Oh, okay. But we'd be watching the replay. But spoiler alert if you haven't seen the most recent season. But Clint called Gina. Oh,
Gina is her name.
Well, he said that he didn't call her nothing, but he said, I'm typically attracted to a more athletic, slender build.
Yikes. He said something else, too. Yeah, so, and he did not, it was like,
woo. And but then when she came to him and said, like, you know, that really hurt my feelings, because basically you're saying, I am not athletic and slender.
Yeah, certainly.
That's what you just said.
Oh, that's what everybody heard.
That's what everybody heard. And she was saying to him, everybody was offended for me.
And the Lord.
And he was like, but why?
And I fell out with the couch. I'm like, oh, man, this literally, man is trying to get slapped.
Literally. It's just, that's when you got to drop whatever's in your hand. Like, what is... It's just like, what are we doing here, man?
It's like, how did you think she was going to take that? You got married at first sight. But that's neither here nor there.
God, but that's why he on the show. He couldn't find nobody because he out here thinking that that's all right. Yes. But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because you can tell by the way that he's trying to make up for it that he genuinely didn't mean to be a butthole. Mm-hmm. He genuinely was like, oh, that was bad? That's ignorance. Yeah. There's a difference between ignorance and mean. Mean people know they being mean.
Certainly.
And they don't care. They do that. They just out here like, well, what? But you are fat.
Yeah, right.
You are, though, right?
I thought we all agreed.
Like, okay. Let's take a vote. I mean, let's take a vote blind here.
Yeah. Can we vote real quick? Everybody thinks she's fat, right? Can we just take a vote?
Terrible. I mean, hey, if you got a problem with yourself, you can fix it.
It ain't my fault. Hefty man. You're the hefty glad bag over
there. Oh, my God.
You're the hefty spokesperson. Nobody asked you to be. Didn't ask you to work there. You don't want to say I wanted to work
there.
You let
yourself go. Yeah. Nah, that's mean.
Yeah.
Nah, is. But I get what you're saying. It's more like, it's more naturally feminine. Mm-hmm. Well, it's, I'm saying it's more naturally to women. It's what? Ew, I can't talk. It's more natural to women to care about people's feelings and be aware of feelings than it is for a man. So typically it's ignorance on a man's part when he's coming off a little, you know, abrasive or, you know, just oblivious, you know, and it does. That's why the Lord put us together.
Certainly.
Because sometimes the man has to help the woman to be more objective.
Yeah.
And sometimes the woman has to help the man to be more attentive.
Amen.
Aware.
That's beautiful.
Praise the Lord for the way that he designed that.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. We had some questions here. We ain't saying them out loud, but, you know, I really think we haven't gotten bored, not only because of the chemistry, but I think that, and I wonder how it is for couples where, like, quality time is neither one of their love language. That's something I wonder about, because that's my love language. It's one of them. Mm-hmm. And it always has been number one for me. Hasn't changed over a decade. You know, so for me, it's like, okay, like, you know, if you love your spouse and you know that they need that and they've expressed that they need that, then you're going to, that's a priority for y'all.
Yeah.
Naturally. You don't have to be as intentional. I mean, I'm sure the spouse for which that does not matter as much has to be more intentional.
Yeah.
But it's like one of you is going to hold y'all accountable to having quality time.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, versus if you are a couple where neither one of you need that.
Yeah, you can kind of just be floating around.
Right. It's just like, all right, I'll see you when I see you, roomie.
Yeah, that's rough.
And that gets rough. And then you can find yourself enjoying the company of everyone else more than the company of your spouse.
Yeah. I feel like that's really important what you just said about, you know, the languages of the love is that sometimes what you can, it's like you have to be attentive and be aware that what you may call boring is exciting to somebody else.
That's true.
So now I don't think quality time is exciting. So I'm not going for that. I try to excite you by giving my gifts and taking you places.
Yeah.
Which is great, you know, in certain facets for everybody, but it's not always going to be like the main thing. Whereas now it's like, hey, nothing would make her more excited than you saying, hey, I took the whole day off. I'm sending the kids to my mother's.
Right.
And we're just going to sit here and talk and just enjoy each other's company.
Right.
She's flabbergasted.
Yeah.
She's excited.
That's awesome.
Him, you said.
You don't have to take, and this is real life for us because Ron's love languages, I mean, last you checked, were,
it's been a while,
were
acts of service.
Acts of service and gift giving.
No.
Have mercy. I mean, that's the man's love language, period. So yes, and sex. But you know, it's like those are your things, is giving. You're very good at, the thing is, the way we receive love, we're very good at doing.
Okay.
Typically.
Typically.
I'm great at having quality time with you.
Undefeated. Undefeated quality timer.
I'm great at
that.
I'm great at giving you words of affirmation.
I can get you to not be mad at me. Like, it's easy. She'd be mad. I'm so mad, Ron. You're not being holy. You're not being the man of God that I thought I married. I'm praying to the Lord right now. Lord, you need to fix him because he's not being the man of God that he's supposed to be.
I'm crying.
Hallelujah, Father.
Okay.
Hallelujah, Father. Please, Lord. And then that's how she's mad. And I just say, hey, do you want to watch a movie?
That's how I'm mad. That's how
she's
mad.
She's very holy mad. And I say, hey, do you want to watch a movie? You know, I bought a little popcorn. I got some little jalapeno cheddar, you know, seasoning that I bought. And we turned that whole evening. You know, God, you're good. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew you picked right when you picked him. Oh, he's mm-hmm. so good to me. And now we're on the couch eating popcorn. Mm-hmm. Jalapeno cheddar. But this is the good part about Chelsea, is she's still going to say something like, you know, when you were over there not being a man of God and being unholy and defiled, it really bothered me, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't true. You it was your flesh. It wasn't you. It was your flesh.
Oh my gosh.
But you would say that and it would be good because I don't get away scot-free. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, but I can still find that niche, you know, find that pocket mm-hmm. where, hey, what is exciting for her is not necessarily exciting for me, yeah. but I should be excited because she's excited. Mm-hmm. At least she's happy. You know, this she's not bored with this. Even if I'm bored with this, I won't be as because we're together.
And you have to be intentional about that, too, because I feel like we had a conversation about that recently where I was sharing with you that, like, I could use more encouragement in the things that I do. Mm-hmm. And you were like, but I was there and like I was helping. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't seem happy about it. Mm-hmm. And like, so for me, it's like you were there, but you didn't want to be there. Like,
I don't
if
recall.
You don't, this was about it was right after the egg hunt.
Oh, okay.
And
yes.
I was just talking to you about you know, like I don't really. I'm not going to get into
all
of that.
Oh, yeah, we don't need to get into all that.
But
yes.
The point was that I was just saying I could use more support and mm-hmm. like encouragement, you know, in the things that I do, mm-hmm. You know, whether it be like working in ministry or just whatever I'm doing,
yeah.
like I could use it more encouragement and support, like, hey, you're doing a great job or like you're good at that or, you know, just great job type of stuff, you know? And you were like, I mean, I'm always at the stuff and I help and da da da. And I'm like, yeah, but I just felt like you didn't like, you know,
didn't want to be there.
Right. And you had said your opinion about the event, which was very valid. Like we were basically just talking about like ministry wise as a church, we don't want to only do stuff for kids because I'm involved with the youth ministry. We don't only want to do stuff for the kids that have fun, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, the families from the community come, they have a good time, but they didn't learn nothing about the Lord mm-hmm. and we didn't even mention the Lord. And then they just go home and we never see them again, you know? So like there has to be like a balance there where we still have the actual mission of the Great Commission in mind. That was a rhyme. Mission mm-hmm. of the Great Commission.
All right.
okay. Sorry, I'm dumb. But yeah, in mind when we do these things. But, you know, you had expressed your opinion about the event mm-hmm. that you were like, I don't even know how I really feel about this event. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain like, oh, well, you know, like I tried to infuse the two by putting, you know, some gospel centered things in their bags. Mm-hmm. Like not all the eggs had candy. Like some of them had like gospel themed message type stuff in them. And, you know, like the bag itself said, Jesus is risen. It, you know, we called it an egg hunt, not like a Easter. You know, we tried to like it's a resurrection egg hunt type of thing, you know. And yeah, so we tried to find a way to infuse the gospel and send them off with the gospel and, you know, had stuff in there to invite them back to the church or whatever. You know, but we were talking about all that. But I was like, you know, it's kind of like you don't really feel like what I was doing was like effective or like important. It was mm-hmm. kind of like a castaway to you. And then like you also may kind of like, and that's just because you don't need that.
Right.
You don't need me to tell you did a good job.
Right. At all.
At all. Words of affirmation is important to me. That's
right.
You know, and I tell you, you did a good job. You know, I'll tell you like, hey, you're really good at that. Or that was great. Or good job. You know, but like, I'm just naturally that way because in my mind, the way that I receive love is the way I show love.
Right.
You know, so in my mind, I'm trying to show you I love you and I care about you. The way that would transfer to me is by telling you good job. If you were to tell me good job right now, so I'm gonna tell you good job because that's how I know how to show love. You know, for you, that's not, I'm sure you appreciate it, but you ain't need it.
No.
And it's not gonna weigh as much to you as it does when you give it back in reverse, you know, because you didn't actually need it. versus me, where if I go without that, I feel depleted in my love bank.
Yes.
You know, so for me, I'm like, man, I worked really hard on that and tried to make sure it was really nice and, you know, was trying to do something effective for the kingdom and for the kids and all of that. And you're just kind of like
shooting it down.
And what else happened? I just want to give backstory. What else happened was you had that rehearsal. And so what happened was, like, your rehearsal ran over and you weren't in the best mood because the rehearsal didn't go well the way you wanted it to go. So when you came out to get JJ from me, you know, well, first of all, like, I called you and was like, hey, people are already showing up and, like, I need you, you know, because I had our son and I just didn't want to lose track of him. It was like 100 people showing up at one time. And, you know, but you kind of just weren't gung-ho, you know, and it can't. So the bringing it back to what we were saying, being intentional about the fact that it's like, don't just be there, and you don't always do that or anything. Like, I'm not trying to throw Ron under the bus right now, but I was just talking about my perception right now, not your intention or you, not even how frequent this happens. But my perception that day was like, okay, he already thinks this event is a bad idea and isn't really worth much.
Yeah, just took it there.
And then now, like, you're like, kind of tootie with me about me calling you and asking you when you're going to be able to be here to help. And then, you know, you didn't really like say anything about like, oh, well, that went well or anything like that. Like, you didn't acknowledge it at all. We just came home and moved on with our life. And I was just telling Ron, like, I need affirmation. Like, I actually need that. So, like, it's helpful to me for you to say, hey, good job, Chels. You know, like, you're working for the Lord, doing a good thing. You know, but anyway, so like, it's important for it not to just be like, because I feel like I hear that a lot with couples that talk publicly somehow or just around us. I hear that a lot where it's like, well, I do this and I do that. And like, I was there. Like, I was there.
But it wasn't in the right spirit.
But it wasn't in the right spirit. So I can't receive that the same way. Like, you have to be intentional about your
everything. Your attitude, your disposition.
And disposition as well as your actual physical involvement and presence. So if you're going to do something, like, I'm sorry, all of this came off of you saying, you know, I should have some enjoyment because she enjoys it.
Yeah.
All of this came from that. And I was just saying amen.
Well, yes. But yes, that's, I feel like that could be the cure for people's boredom. People who are productive and doing something that they're passionate about are always the most fulfilled, even if it's not, you know, anything grand. But if you take that approach in your marriage and say, in order to, for, I don't want to be bored, I want to be excited. It's like, okay, make them excited.
Right.
Make your spouse excited.
Right.
Like, what would make them excited is going to really, it'll give you fulfillment. And I don't care. Like, fulfillment is a drug. Being fulfilled is like, is what we all really want, to feel like we're accomplished. Like, oh, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's actually what God made us for. That's why we feel so good doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is right. This is it. And you'll chase that. So now when you do it with your spouse, this is perfect because you're tied to them anyway. And now you want them to be happy. Okay, let me do something I know that'll make her excited. I'm going to come in here and say, you know what, baby? I've been planning this for 6 months. We're going to the museum in D.C. And she would be floored.
You see how that really would have made me say it right now?
And she would be
floored. That's something I really want to do.
And if I was really a G, I would have been like, this isn't a joke.
See, guys, pay attention. The fact that he knew that. Like, I haven't talked about that in a minute. Like, we haven't talked about that in probably a couple of years.
I'm a bad person for that because I remember everything.
You do.
I do.
Well, you remember that stuff. That you matters. Remember what I like.
Yeah.
Or, like, what makes me happy. That's so nice. Like, he remembers everything I say that I enjoy.
Yeah, I always remember.
Literally.
Yeah. I remember stuff that I need to for whatever reason.
You do.
Yeah, but I'm a very aware person. I feel like I have the gift of discernment. And I feel like all of that kind of goes. You probably do, but I feel like all I feel like it all kind of goes hand in hand. You know, because I, you know, just have the ability to be able to read a room and read people's, just see how they feel and have enough foresight and knowledge to understand. Oh, you should remember this,
right? Right.
And I put it in my mind to remember. Not that I don't remember everything. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know what, though, to my credit, you don't be saying a lot.
Nah.
Like, and I'll ask you, I'll ask you, like, hey, Ron, like, what do you like or what would you want to do? And you just, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Like you. Like to do you. Nothing
else. That's it, guys.
That's it.
That's it. And I'm just like, but I want to do something nice for you, but I don't have no hints.
You won't be
dropping no hints. Just whatever is fine. I don't care.
Other than the really nice meal, you know, that's always a go for me. A really nice, well-curated meal at a very nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's stuff I would like to do, but it's just like, that don't fit our life right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I would be excited to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to say Romans 12:10.
Yeah. I beseech you. Did I make that up?
That
might be a different one. I beseech you, therefore, brother. I think I made that up.
Yeah. By the mercies of God.
That's not 12? No, it's...
No. Well, it's not how it starts, at least.
Oh. How's this? Hold on. It says now...
Well, it's just saying outdo one another in showing each other honor.
That's 12?
Romans 12:10.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I don't know how it starts or
I was reading
how
one.
It finishes.
I'm
got
sorry.
You. Okay.
Way off.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So yeah. 12 is what I said. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But, no, but I think.
Well, praise God.
I think it, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, present your bodies.
Living sacrifice.
Right.
Holy and acceptable unto God,
yeah,
which is reasonable
12.
Service.
I know what it says.
I just don't know what it says.
Yeah, who are you telling?
But,
Jackie
but
Hill
yeah.
Perry says she's a part of the paraphrase ministry.
Oh, yes. That's
it's paraphrase.
A lot of us part of that ministry.
It's in there. You find it.
Hallelujah.
I knew it's in there, not you. You find it. Thank
yeah.
You.
I taught the girls at Praise Dance a verse last night, and I jacked it up real fast. I'm like, all right, guys, so what was our verse from earlier? I'm like, Romans 10. Not Romans. I was like, 1 Corinthians 10:13. They were like, it was 10:31. I was like, 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Shut up.
But the point is,
that's the first thing.
When you both focus on outdoing each other and showing each other honor, you know, it's just being like Jesus. Jesus thought it not beyond himself to humble himself and come down and take on the form of a human being, mm-hmm. and become a servant.
Yes.
Some versions say a slave, but a slave in a positive way, a voluntary slave okay. to us. You know, and just making it his business of what do they need?
Yeah.
For the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Amen.
You know, and we were that joy. He said, Lord, they're going to benefit from this, so I'm happy to lay my life down.
Certainly. Have mercy.
You can't get bored that way.
Definitely can't get bored when you have purpose.
Amen.
And remembering that your marriage actually has purpose.
Amen.
Your relationship, if you're working towards marriage, has purpose. If you're relating with somebody, and I mean, and I don't want to discount people's relationships, but... We know marriage is the goal for the sake of legacy, for the sake of honoring God,
Amen.
For the sake of building a family the way God would have you. That is a purpose, and that's something you can be passionate about if it's in your heart to be.
Amen.
So we thank you for listening about
Amen.
Boredom and excitement, and you know, you'll find excitement in fulfilling it. And fulfilling your marriage and being fulfilled in it, you will find it in serving your spouse. Because they'll be, if they're, you know, provided, here's the key, that they'll be appreciative. I believe that in my heart.
Yeah, amen.
That if you do it the right way, that you don't do it with a mean, you know, I can't even think of the word that is. I'm calling it a grin, a scowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got a, what is a mean face? What is that called, Chels?
A grimace?
Not a grimace, just a... I don't know. Just
scowl was good.
All right, let's go with scowl. You over there is trying to serve her breakfast in bed with a mean. Cutting up her pancakes. Here. Eat the pancake.
I saw a TikTok like that. It was like when you mad at each other, but you still love
still
each other.
Love each other. Give me that trash.
It was hilarious.
Dang, take out this trash. But you'll find it in there. And it'll be the best cure for your boredom, I believe,
Amen.
In my spirit,
Amen.
Just by serving your spouse.
Yeah.
All right. So we thank you once again.
God bless
it's another
you.
Week. We appreciate you. I love you, my
love.
We love y'all. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.